All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. Thank you very, very much for listening. And right off the bat, I want to tell you about a miracle that happened today. When you are being brought through the fires and God is testing you, when you are at the end of your rope, you have no more line to rappel down on, God is always there. Today, you know, to make ends meet, I'll be frank with you, as I always have been. I'm not ashamed of my failings at times, but I feel that maybe my experience can motivate others, can help others to understand the problems that we have in this world, how to get around them, how to deal with them, and how to look upon God for when you don't know what to do. Today, I sold my last bit of silver. I was on my GiveSendGo webpage, which is a Christian-based donations. And thank God for those people and the ability to have stuff like that out, because I'm banned from PayPal. So if you didn't know this, a bunch of the other podcast venues that I'm on, they only pay you through PayPal. So, you know, I'm on Audible, Google Podcasts, there are a whole bunch of them. If you go to the AmericanVindictaShow.com, you can actually see on the front page all the different ones that we actually got the show up on now. So, you know, Spotify told us no, but that's fine. But the way you get paid with advertisement, and I'm a new rookie to this, you know, I've only been doing this a year now, actually. Haha. Happy anniversary to everyone who has been listening to the American Vindicta Show podcast. We made it a year. We went 90% further than most podcasts ever do. Thank you for your commitment to me. And God, thank you for your commitment to me as well. But with PayPal, they blocked me. They don't like my content. Go figure, right? So I don't get paid for advertisement on 10 different podcast venues. So let's say an advertiser gives you, let's say $15 a show to put in advertisement. And sometimes it's a lot more than that. I've never reached the limits that are a lot more than that. But you would get paid by, they automatically input an advertisement into your podcast. So, besides GS Radio and what I put on YouTube and Rumble, if you're hearing it anywhere else and you hear like four or five different commercials throughout the middle of it, that's not me. That's the computer-based system that my podcast gets put on. The only two sponsors that I ever talk about, or three, well, two, is Ready Made Resources, which is Bob Griswold, Robert Griswold, who is the longest-running sponsor of this show, and then Mountain State Survival, who is the second-longest runner of this show. And both these guys are small businesses, American-owned, American-made, by God. So please support them. You support them. You keep them going. I get a little check in the mail once a month for talking about them. So you help the world go round. And by the way, if you didn't know this, at Ready Made Resources, you can actually now purchase a refurbished PVS-14 night vision device, which is it's going to be green filter. So unlike white phosphorus, this is green. It's the old school stuff that I used to patrol the streets of Iraq with. It worked fine for us then. But for $2,300, you can get a brand new refurbished unit. That's awesome. You might be able to find them cheaper here and there, but Bob Griswold does not sell crap. He does not sell things that are broken. If he does, if you do get anything like that, you contact Bob. Bob will immediately fix that problem. When you shop with Bob, you shop with reliability. I want to state that. When you shop with Bob, you shop with reliability, the trustworthiness. Bob's been around the block. Most of you probably don't know Bob's background, and we actually can't talk about it. But within the realms of intelligence, Bob was known. So, the things that Bob sells are some things that he actually had to use in operations for many, many years. So when Bob speaks, I listen, and I implore you as well. This is a man with a wealth of knowledge of survival, know-how. So I bend the ear whenever this man speaks. He's selling these refurbished units. I don't know how many of them he's going to get. I don't know how many of them are going to be in store still come like December. If you don't know this, night vision is expensive, but it flies off the shelf fast. And Bob can talk to you about that. It flies off the shelf very, very fast. And there will eventually come a day where the U.S. government will not allow businesses like Bob's to sell night vision to the public. So this will probably come along the same lines of the same people who say that you don't need an AR-15, you don't need a semi-automatic pistol, you don't need a semi-automatic shotgun, you don't need a machine gun, you don't need a suppressor, you don't need a underslung 40 mic grenade launcher. This government says that you don't need what they can have to suppress your rights. And also, they want to take away night vision devices. They want to take away thermal devices. They don't want you to have a freaking laser or even a flashlight on your rifle or your pistol. They want you to have a single shot rifle, shotgun, pistol. Sound fair? Stock up on your beans, bullets, and band-aids while you can. Stock up on your cool guy tactical gear. I know I make it sound facetious every now and then, but trust me, I have an entire closet dedicated to this stuff. I probably have over, 10 years worth of collecting these objects. I probably have, $50,000 worth. You know, I mean, just one of my rifles alone, I got $8,000 in it. You know, obviously you don't write a check for this stuff. You build upon this over time, and you trading, you know, optics for new things. And, you know, I was lucky enough when going through all these different deployments for the last 10 years with DHS. I mean, I was gone for about 6 to 7 months out of the year. I might as well have been deployed back to overseas. And I was able to accumulate the small wealth of tactical gear that I have. But I reached my limit and I stopped because I really don't need to accumulate anymore. But now I look back and I say, man, if Doug had the ability, y'all listen to me. If Doug had the ability, I never saw January 6th coming. I never saw the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots for an entire year and never being challenged by law enforcement to the extent that it was, never being prosecuted by the lawyers as it should have, and then being supported by the politicians. I never saw that coming. I have a very naive mind, obviously. I believe law should be enforced and citizens should obey the law when they're lawful, that is. When they're lawful. But we live in an unlawful time. Our people in America have become lovers of evil. My mentor for many, many years, Steve Quayle, really helped to solidify the way the world is. And, you know, I've met amazing men throughout my time. Pastor David Lankford is probably one of my favorite men I've ever met. Now I'm hooked up with Dave Hodges over at thecommonsenseshow.com. We do our own dual podcast now, which is awesome. We're going to be doing that hopefully Monday to Friday. So you'll have Dave's show, my show, and then we're going to come together in the evening and have our own shows together Monday to Friday. Because we believe the time is now that you need to hear strong men of God who are not afraid of this corrupt government, this corrupt world. Who's going to tell you the truth no matter what the liability is. And we face a lot of liability for telling the truth. Not like Alex Jones' liability. And nor could I ever even be on the level of Alex Jones. And I'll never take away the great things that Alex Jones did. I still think he does great things. But, you know, I don't have that type of funding. I'm doing this out of a spare room on a small chicken farm. But what we have together are our dynamo between me and Dave. I'll actually give you a little bit of a parody to this. The way the Spartan warriors actually used to fight is they fought in something that was called a dios, which is two of one heart. And a lot of times it was brothers or it was fathers and sons, uncles and nephews who would fight together, and they would always pair up shield to shield, and they would fight back to back together. Very romantic when you listen to the way these men fought and died together and bled together, lived together, sweated together, you know, from childhood to the final days of battle. And so, you know, within the dios, you always had the elder. And then you had the younger. That's typically how they would, unless they were twin brothers, they typically liked to pair them. So one, the way they would describe it, is you would have the older tree, the oak, who was stiff and slow, but sturdy and very, very rigid. And then you had the bending reed. And what these two would do between the bending reed that could move fluently with the wind and with the water and with the environment is they would pair each other together and they would complement each other. So when one was going too fast, they had to slow down because of the other. When you know, one wanted to lag behind, he had to catch up to the faster one. And the mindset of the dios is actually brilliant because you have two fighting men, older and younger, and they have to rely upon each other, and they end up making an entirely self-sustained battlefield within just the area of operations of their auspice, which was the oak and bronze shield, those 20 to 30 pound shields that the Spartans would carry. That is called an auspice. And as they would move together, sandal to sandal, left foot to right foot, left foot to right foot, as they would be moving forward, everybody had to stay on line. So what me and Dave are doing now, fighting in a dios, we are trying to get a rallying cry for people to get online with us. Come and join the fight with us. Start your own podcast. If you're witty, if you're smart, if you know your politics, if you know your crypto, if you know your Bible, and you need to start a podcast, I've had like 8 or 9 people reach out to me, Doug, I love what you're doing. How did you go from never doing this to being successful? And I don't know if I would use the word successful, but that's the word that's used for me. If you need help, the equipment I use, the software I use, it's really simple. And there are probably a billion people out there that can do this way better than me. So if you do need help, if you want to start your own podcast, let me know. I'll put you on the right path and I'll tell you where you need to go. But I want to talk about a miracle today. So as I was telling you before, and I'm happy, the Spirit of God has rested upon me today, which is good. There are a lot of really hard days. There's a lot of really hard days that come with my life now. More intensive time in prayer has brought up a lot of bad things in my life that I am trying to navigate through so that God can get that off of my mind so that I can focus on the fight ahead of me. And if it wasn't for the strength of my wife, the love of my kids, the support of all you who listen to me, I would still be back in the shadows, pacing back and forth amongst the trees at the wood line. But because of your encouragement, my wife's devoted encouragement to me, the laughter that fuels me for my children, those beautiful smiles that they give me, and the motivation of God Almighty being my rock and my shield, I continue to move forward, no backwards step. So today I had a miracle. Sold the last bit of silver so that we could go and get some special food for my wife. She's 8 months pregnant, and she's coming to that phase where it happens with some people where they get this strange, like, diabetic-style blood sugar. She's not a diabetic, but it's we have to monitor her blood sugar vigorously. And so, you know, within the house, we've just been getting low on stocks. Thank God that we had the mental preparedness years ago to stock up on food, to stock up on grain, rice, sugar, flour, canned food. You know, we're eating freaking canned vegetables from like 2 or 3 years ago. But it sustained us, right? How many different times in the Bible have we heard about the necessity, see if Doug can speak today without stumbling, the necessity of having food stored up. So I've been living that, right? For months, I've been living that. Because every day I say, the lights are not going to come back on this month. I'm going to have to go get a job. And then I'm going to have to juggle back and forth on whether or not I can do the podcast, look, I hate to say the word podcast. I hate to say the word radio show. I don't know what you call this, but this is what God told me to do, is to speak to the people. He didn't say, go get a second job. He said, go speak to the people. So when I quit my 6-figure job, I went from making a lot of money to making no money immediately, like within the next month. And I was not prepared. I'll admit, I was not prepared to do what I'm doing now. All my savings for my retirement, gone. we probably had $30,000-$40,000 worth of silver and gold gone, having to pay for repairs on the house or for vehicles, having to pay for trips here and there, helping out family when we can, paying bills, paying mortgage, getting caught up on bills, you know, all these things. Within a year, you would think that this amount of money that I've stored up, probably close to 100 grand, should last us a while. Now we got a new baby we got to pay for. Yeah, I don't have insurance anymore. So, you know, it shifts your paradigm of thought of how to properly prepare. We all prepare for when prophecy hits the fan and Godzilla's coming out of the Atlantic and destroying New York and the zombies are walking throughout, you know, America. We're all ready for World War III to happen. But are you ready to lose your job? How many of you faced what I'm facing now? How did you survive? Send me your story. I'll read it. If you want, I'll share it. You know, there's life lessons here that we can all learn. My life lesson to you is save your money and stop buying useless crap. How many times have you ever heard that from a life coach, right? You know, I have 5 kids. We homeschool. And we use a Becca. So you don't think about this, but we're on a payment plan for the homeschool. And, you know, when $600 hits once a quarter, sometimes you're not always thinking about it. And then all of a sudden you look in your bank account and you're negative $600. And your phone bill was due. Your truck note was due. You had a quarter tank of gas, or like me, freaking diesel. Chickens need to get fed. Ducks need to get fed. Turkeys need to get fed. The pheasants need to get fed. The quail need to get fed. The dogs need to get fed. The livestock dogs need to get fed. I got to feed the gas and the lawnmower so that I can keep up the maintenance around everywhere. Broke a chainsaw. That's a couple $100. And you got to be doing something bad to break a steel STIHL, a steel chainsaw. Yeah, I broke one. Let's just say the tree won. So, you know, all these accumulated costs, I was always able to withstand that storm because of the paychecks I was getting when I worked for the government. Now that's not there. Now I'm literally every month, like we just did this month, looking around the house for pennies and dimes and nickels and quarters to pay bills. Never in my life have I ever been in this situation. I've always been very successful. I've always worked my butt off to be successful. It took a lot of toll on my wife. It took a lot of toll on my kids. Me being gone 6-7 months out of the year. On average, the operators that were in our special operations team that I was on, we were gone 1,000 days a year on average. Yeah, you know, that's a lot of time to be gone every year. And so, you know, now here I am, sold my last bit of silver. And I'm sitting here asking myself, how am I going to make everything for this little bitty Thanksgiving dinner from scratch? I've taught myself how to bake. We have a ham still from like last week that I bought. I was able to go to Walmart and it was on sale and I got it fairly cheap. So, you know, we're talking about all the things that, you know, you want your green bean casserole. You want your different dips and your pies and all that stuff that, you know, you always eat on Thanksgiving. And I just sat there and I laughed. We're going to have a ham and maybe some biscuits. But you know what? The lights are going to be on. I got plenty of cut dried wood for the fireplace. We can listen to music and hang out, worship God, and be thankful that we're alive. You know, That's one of the things that really hit me the other day. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a former Air Force. Actually, a couple different guys, a couple different veterans in the past month. We've, because of Veterans Day and the Marine Corps birthday, we've all been contacting each other, giving our condolences to each other for losses and, just esprit de corps, trying to encourage each other to keep going. Especially if you didn't know this, suicide is probably one of the highest percentages within the veteran community. There's a lot of problems there. And we always thought we solved those problems with violence, more violence and alcohol, and then a little extra violence. And guess what? When you rotate back to the civilian world, it doesn't carry over. It causes a lot of problems. So I mentor a few guys. I've been sober for, I think, coming on almost 3 years now. And, you know, it's very, very hard to live this type of lifestyle dedicated to God every month at the end of the month, saying we have literally no extra money to buy shoes or clothes. So we have to literally save up. And it just makes me think, you know, I feel bad because at one point in time, I could waste money. I wasted money. You know, let's go have $400 worth of meals today. You know, let's go buy all these toys. Let's go do all this crap. Instead of saving it, I spent it. Because I was thankful for having it. And a lot of times, my mind would go into dark places. And the way to alleviate that for me was spending money. That's not a good habit to have, if you didn't know that. So now that God has cleared me of that bad habit and I've been faithfully sober, I look at every month and I just kind of smile, because God has this unique way of every time Doug starts to get frantic about money, how am I going to pay the dang phone bill? Why is my phone bill so expensive? Why is the internet so expensive? Why in the hell is gas so expensive and diesel's close to $6 again? Oh, by the way, you know, this happened, or you need to replace this. Or like our my wife's Yukon, we had to go get a new vehicle because the tire rods were going out. Let me give you a really good story about why you should go to a very, very good mechanic and get multiple opinions if possible. Had a little wobble in the front end. I'm not a mechanic by any means. I work on my Excursion exclusively. That is my pet project. That is my, how do I say it? It's my rescue vehicle, because I'm the eighth owner of it. So I'm rebuilding it into turning it into a monster truck, more or less. So that's the only thing I know how to work on. That and a 1954 Ford Workmaster tractor, which is the bane of my existence. Every time I turn that tractor on, something new is leaking. So it is still sitting outside waiting for my hands to come and wrap around its neck. But I had a little wobble in the tire of my wife's Yukon. We had to go take it in. We took it to Firestone. I'm waiting. And the guy goes, "Man, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to need two new tires in the front end because your front end's going out." So in my mind, I'm like, oh, great, there's $400 because there's these stupid 22 tires, the 22-inch tires that come stock on these damn trucks. So I said, oh, whatever. Okay, well, we have to have it, so go ahead and replace them. They replace the tires. Let me tell you where I'm going to get mad. They replace the tires, and then mechanics come back and tell me, oh, by the way, your tire rod's going out. I said, I shoot people for a living. I don't know mechanics. What does that mean? Show me what you're talking about. So he comes and shows me all these different things. He said, you know, I think we have what we need to fix it. Like, whatever. I have $1,000 spared. I need my wife's vehicle fixed. It was literally our only vehicle at that point because my truck was in the shop getting some engine issues fixed on it. Now she's up and running. And close to 400 horsepower. And I'm going to see if I can get it up to 6. Anyways, that'll be another story. But mechanics come back and say, oh man, you won't know this, but this one part that GMC makes is the same thing in the Denalis as the Lincoln Navigators and as the Cadillac Escalades. And you mechanics out there are going to laugh because you already know what I'm talking about. This magnetic drive system, I don't know, whatever it is that holds the tires in the front together, are $600 a piece. You'll need them for both top and bottom, and then it'll be $900 for the labor plus the two tires. That's $4,000. And I looked at this manager, and I very kindly said, I seriously think I'm going to choke you out in front of the other customers. And he's like, whoa, you know. Just calm down. I said, I'm not calm because I need this vehicle to run. You told me I needed two new tires, and at first the alignment needed to be done. And now all these problems have come up out of nowhere, and your mechanics now have seen all this. I said, why don't I just go and trade the vehicle in then? Then the guy said, I said, well, you know what? Go check the entire suspension. The air ride system went out. I'm like, okay, that makes sense why it's been lower in the rear. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know these things. I shoot people for a living, right? And so I said, okay, how much is a air ride suspension? Oh, that'll be about $9,000 and probably about $2,000 worth of labor. So we're looking at close to $20,000 for just a suspension of a vehicle that I bought 2 years ago when my daughter Sarah was born. I had to trade in a perfectly good, almost paid off Tundra. Oh, I was so mad about that. That Tundra was a phenomenal truck. It was a TRD. So we traded it in on my wife's Yukon. And then literally within 2 years, $20,000 later, the thing's falling apart. It's having electrical issues. And my wife and I were actually joking about how we think that because we traded it in on a Toyota Sienna, which, you know, little mommy vehicle, minivan, but it's freaking awesome, by the way. That thing is cool. And 30 miles to the gallon is a lot better than the 15 I was getting. And way easier to park. So, you know, we joked about how this thing was a money trap. That we were just going to keep throwing money into it, keep throwing money into it. So we went and traded it in. Had to get my mom to co-sign because my credit is now ruined by trying to max out credit cards. Well, I only had two. You know, just trying to sustain this family and this operation and to keep the show online costs a lot of money. It's about $6,000 a year, you know, to keep everything up and running. And so, you know, we got all this going on, literally down to the point to where I have no more saved money. Sell my last bit of silver. And I'm praying and I'm laughing how, you know, we're going to be eating out of the can for, you know, this Thanksgiving. The kids aren't going to know. And to the point where my wife and I last night were so frustrated, we're like, you know what, let's just cancel Thanksgiving. It's just one day. We don't have to prepare $500 worth of food. You know, we can do it at the end of the month when my VA check hits or whatever. But even so, that gets immediately siphoned out to all the bill collectors. So we were just kind of down in the dumps. And then all of a sudden today on our Give, Send, Go page for the American Vindicta show, last night I checked it. There was $400 in the account. There was only $100 there originally. Then when I wake up this morning, there's $400 in my account. And I'm sending out thank yous to people saying, I don't know why you would spend your money on a stranger that you don't know, you don't owe anything, but by the grace of God, thank you. Whoever you are that donated, thank you so much. Sorry if I sound emotional. Today, we went and checked the post office to see if anyone had sent us anything, because I love to get cards from people. So if you ever have anything you want to send to the P.O. box, if you go to the American Vindictus show, there should be an area where you can actually, like, say, mail or donations or something. There should be a P.O. box on there. You got, you know, cards, or, you know, I got people who send me books that they've wrote that I'm still, you know, waiting to read. I have a mountain of books to read, but I will read them. So if you ever want to send them, you know, send them that way. It's great. If you ever want to send anything for donations for the show, the P.O. box seems to be the main way that people like to do that. And God bless every single one of you. I think the four of you who do that once a month. It's amazing what just little bitty things collected together helps to keep a family going. It really is. So we come back from today, being out in town, and we're starting to make our list. You know, we got to get corn. We got to get scratch grain. We got to get a bunch of immunity stuff because the weather's all wonky now. And if our birds get sick, they start dropping. And, you know, when you're talking about $30 to $50 a chicken, that's money dying. So you got to be on top of it night and day. And you got to be collecting eggs night and day, because sometimes if it gets too low in temperature, the eggs will freeze. Well, you know, that's $5 an egg. You know, these little things add up for paying bills. So, you know, we're doing our due diligence, and, you know, we got to get more dog food. I mean, we go through a lot of dog food. Of course, we have 7 dogs. And some people may think that's too much. It's not. We have 2 dogs that are livestock guard dogs. They're a little over 100 pounds, and they're almost a year old. They are man killers. They are coyote-killing dogs, and that is what we want them for. Of course, you know, my kids, they'll roll all over them and lick them all over the place. But the moment a coyote comes out or a stranger shows up, bad day. It can be a bad day. That's why they're locked up 24/7. And we're also talking about dogs that have snapped chains. It's incredible how powerful these dogs are. You know, we have our interior dogs that are my little alarms, so I got to keep them fed. We got to keep the dang barn cats fed so we keep all the rats down. So, you know, you accumulate all these bills and we just go, man, we literally have enough for, I think it was going to be like $100 left over after everything, after all the bills are paid this month. And then miracle once again happened. Every time Doug is lacking in his faith, every time Doug starts to frantic, starts to panic, starts to get, my anxiety starts to rise, I start to get depressed or angry about these freaking bills and how I can just go get a job tomorrow and start making money again, God hits me right in the head, right in my stupid head, with another donation. So today someone donated $3,000. I don't know who you are. I'm going to find a way to contact you. If you're listening, please contact me. Or go back to the Gibson Go and leave a message. You know, it. Me and my wife are just sitting here trying to make breakfast at 2 in the afternoon. And we just broke down crying. I never understood the anxiety that my parents went through when they said that they were counting pennies to pay bills. And now I do. And for all you parents out there, I feel your anxiety. I'm not going to say I was privileged. I was never privileged. I worked my butt off for the money that I got. I had a lot of help from my family to keep me stable, but I sacrificed my life, my time with my family, potentially my mortality, to be where I'm at now. And, you know, for all of you out there who are successful, I would implore you to have a giving spirit, because God loves a cheerful giving spirit. If you can help out families in need, because my wife and I tithe, we're talking about probably sending these tithes to her brother to help pay for some personal bills that they have. We're always trying to dig each other out of this debt now. You know, trying to support another family every time we get money. But that's what God calls us to do, right? Don't forget to tithe. That 10% out of your income. You know, don't forget to tithe. You don't have to put it in the church. Give it to someone who actually needs it. The churches don't need another basketball court. They don't need another big screen TV. I'm not saying don't donate to the church. Just be careful which one you do. But donate to people who are in need. Make a success story out of people in need. Whenever I was making the big bucks still, every paycheck, I had huge paychecks. It's one of these things I guess I'll be able to look back on and laugh about. You know, when you get like a $6,000 to $8,000 paycheck, sometimes twice a month, you know, we would always leave, you know, whatever it was for the tithe, on a tip, because we always went to Cracker Barrel to eat. I'm a very simple man. I don't have 5-star delusions. I just like Cracker Barrels, biscuits and gravy and coffee. And, you know, just sitting down there with my rough and wild kids and my pretty wife, and we'll eat our meal and get up and leave a $500 to $600 tip. And you don't know how many times we have had people come out to the parking lot to track us down saying, "You just paid my mortgage. You just paid my rent for the month, my student loan. You know, it's, you never realize the gift that you can be to other people." So, you know, if you have the ability to bless people, bless them. If God has blessed you, continue it and bless others. It's a good thing to have that type of a cheerful spirit, because one day in this country, we're going to need to be cheerful towards one another. We're so motivated to tear down one another. We're so inspired to be violent towards one another over some criminal's death, over some stupid woman's idea, or some dumb guy's adventure, or some politician who doesn't care about you, hasn't paid a single bill for you, but calls you, texts you, "Donate to my fund. I'm only at $100 million. No thanks. Don't do that. Just Doug's personal opinion. Take care of yourself, your family. Take care of others around you. This is going to be the lesson for today for rulers. Rules for Rulers, Part 2. So yesterday we left off with rule number 11, I believe. We're going to start with rule 12. When surrounded by disarray, be well ordered. When emotions rise and fall, remain calm and steady. When danger looms, and even the bravest warriors shrink with fear, stand tall and face the opposing evil. One of the most beautiful things that you can do on a battlefield is to stare down your enemy and show him the same amount of respect as he's showing you. Fight to the death. Sometimes you need to look at life like this is David going up against Goliath in that inspirational fight to the death. Sometimes, very rarely, does life actually win. Most of the time, I've found that people learn to adapt and overcome. They learn to manipulate the world around them and their mindset to overcome and achieve this objective, this giant that they're trying to fell. How many giants are there in your life? Let's count them. Sin, slothfulness, anger, pride, lust, greed, wanting to obtain things that your neighbor has? What about bills? What about that boss at your work that's a bit of a bully to you? What about your family that doesn't look up to you anymore? What about your family that says to you that you can't do what you're doing? Oh, I've heard that. I know one of, and I don't want to get too personal in my own life, but I know one of my giants that I fought at one point in time was my older brother. I love my older brother. He used to be an inspiration to me. I remember when I got out of the Marine Corps and I was actually training to go and try out for the, which NFL team was it? The one in Houston, the Houston Texans. I went and did one of their walk-on programs, just for the day, just to see how I'd do. And I was in fairly good shape. I was pretty big, pretty strong, still ran about a 4.5 40 back then. Of course, I had been playing rugby for the last couple of years, so I was still in pretty good shape. And I thought, you know, maybe this is my chance, my dream to go play in the NFL. And I remember my older brother telling me, kind of laughing in a way, the fact that I went and wanted to do this, because he said, you know, who is Doug Thornton? There is 10,000 Doug Thorntons out there. What makes you any better than any of them? You know, I was too short because I'm only 6 foot tall. I wasn't fast enough. My lateral movement wasn't fast enough, or I didn't read the field good enough. Whatever excuse you can make up in your mind, creating your own giants that you have to fail, right? And so what I did was I took that and I internalized that, and I used it as fuel for everything that I do for my life now. I will not be told what I cannot do. I'll let people tell me no, but I will try 100%. So if you're trying out for a job, if you are applying for jobs and you go, man, I just don't know if I'm going to be qualified for this, put in your application, make sure it looks good, and let them tell you no. Do not dare. Dare to go out there and to give it your all. Because this world is not ready for a man or a woman filled with the faith of God, with their due diligence and motivation, to stand in front of the gale storm and say, I'm calm. The world's not ready for people like that. And when they meet people like that, typically they have to bow to it, because it's not so much of you, but it's the calmness and serenity of the mountain behind you that is God. So, think about that. What giants are there in your life? Let's move on to number 13. Let your values be like shining beacons in the midst of disorder. Give your people something with which to orientate themselves. Be a beacon for others. When everyone is losing their minds, be the one that people look to for the calmness. There's strength in calmness. You may have to train yourself for that. You may need to insert yourself into various degrees of danger throughout your life to gain that. It took me 15 years to get the steadiness that I have now. And there are still times that I find myself unsteady, but I find that it is almost never a physical danger. It is a mental. And that is the enemy that I tell you about so much that is out there. The enemy that roams around like a ravenous lion, waiting for someone to devour. They're waiting to devour your inner spirit, your will to continue to move forward. So fortify yourself in the Word of God. Stand flat-footed. Pick up your shield. Point your shield towards the enemy. Brace yourself, because they're going to come at you. And stand firm. Every time you get bowed over, stand back up. and present yourself back to the enemy. The front of your body, as Alexander the Great once said, should be filled with scars. There should be none on your rear. Always present yourself face first to the enemy. And that is every enemy that comes out there. Be a beacon in the midst of that disorder of life. And people will rally around you. People will rally around you for the strength in your voice, the calmness in your voice, the compassion and the handshake and the eyes. People look for that. They don't look for spotless. They don't look for pretty. People don't look for the guy in the rich suit with the pretty hair. They look for the rigid determination to not fail. Be that person. Suffer a little bit every day. I can tell you right now, I'm about to suffer today. I'm going to literally do push-ups today until my shoulders fall off. And then I'm going to sit there in a plank position until my stomach and my back cramps. And I'm going to do that as many times as possible in my cold, dungeon-like gym. And I'm going to make sure that my body heat increases the temperature in the 30-degree gym that I have. That's my giant for the day, is my slothfulness to not get out and to get a little bit better. The only thing you can do, guys, is get out and fight it. And gals, don't think you can't do this either. All right. Number 14. When overpowered, surrender. Do not allow yourself to be crushed entirely because of honor. Your enemy will no longer see you as a threat, which will give you the opportunity to plan another attack. Sometimes in this life, we have to give a feint. Sometimes in this life, you have to draw the lion in and make yourself the prey. This is craftiness. This is your cleverness. I would say fight until the very last man. But sometimes you need to be a little bit clever. Sometimes you need to use your imagination. You need to create pitfalls for your enemy. And you may have to stand right in front of it. Taking that risk that you should could actually go down there with them. If you study war, there are plenty of times where there's baits and switches, where there are feints, where there are ambushes, where, in fact, we want to draw a larger enemy in on us because they believe they can overwhelm us, but they are so haughty in their movement and in their pride that they never see the snipers out on the left and right flank that start picking them off, which causes dissent and madness and can actually rout an entire phalanx, which is the saddest sight in history, is a phalanx that has become routed. What I'm speaking about may be something that you need to apply in the future for when this country eventually goes into the next civil war. Study Sun Tzu. That's a good book. There are many other good books that you can study about war. I suggest that you study them all. I am always trying to be a student of history, doing my due diligence to learn the strategies, because I can apply warlike strategies to the way I deal with individual people. I did that as a cop. I always knew how to present myself to become more, how would you say, intimidating to one or more assailants than I actually was. There are plenty of times when I felt terrible, when I suffer from a little bit of a limp in my right leg, and I don't know if I can run, I don't know if I can fight today, but I can outsmart you and make you believe within yourself that I am the better man, right? Sometimes you have to apply that cleverness. So start studying it. All right, number 15. Direct the movements of your enemy by tempting them with baits, as we were just saying, arousing their anger and toying with their pride. Disrupt their plans with your enticements and control your foes as you wish. There was in Fallujah a repeat of actually something that happened in Vietnam. There was a sniper that was very good, and he struck one of the Marines. He fell down. You've probably seen the pictures. I know a few of the guys that were in that picture. And then the next Marine goes to help him, and so he struck that Marine. And then the next one comes out to help him, and he struck that Marine. And then he was able to bait out the corpsman, the doc, and shot the doc. And if it wasn't for the fact that they decided to just start leveling the buildings around them, this probably would have continued to happen, and I do believe at least one or two of the Marines bled to death. These types of baits and switches, using anger against your enemy, using pride, pride in your own skills and prowess as a warrior, these are mental games that you can play with people. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and start mentally tormenting people. But if you're just the gray man Joe Schmo of the day, start practicing those skills. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I do, but I sometimes do this very thing in Walmart, out in Target. I like to use different positions and different looks to see how people react. If you want to see a really funny reaction, just stare at somebody. Don't blink. A complete stranger. A couple things will happen. For one thing, be ready to say I was doing a sociological experiment. But two, see how quickly they flee, how many times they'll look at you, if they stare back, or if their emotion takes them up a notch and they start to get angry and actually confront you. Now, you may always have that one crazy lady who will get bug-eyed and she'll start running her mouth and get in your face because you know, God forbid you stared at her for 5 seconds just to see her reaction. But this is a good tool to use, and it's a method to use in the crowds that you're around so that you'll know how to act and react and also be watching others and their mannerisms. Typically, people will tell you within a crowd how you should be acting as well. All right, 16. Acting with haste weakens your control. Have faith that your ambitions will come to fruition and remain patient. Having faith, remaining patient, those are very, very good characteristics to have, especially in any types of signs of distress, any type of emergency. Once again, bite your tongue, do some box breathing, use your eyes, listen with your ears, 360-degree situational awareness. Start checking people that are around you. See if people are starting to stare at a singular thing that may alert you at what you need to look at. But also, understand that it could be a feint, and look everywhere else that everyone else is looking at as well. Enemies move within the opportunities that they are given. Don't give it to them. Other people will, but that's your a conscious choice to be ever vigilant. All right, 17. As a farmer tends to his fields, so they may bear crops. Cultivate the conditions necessary for people to flourish. I wish our politicians and leaders understood that philosophy. I think Donald Trump did. I think Donald Trump tried. I don't think he did that great at it, but I think he tried. I think given a second go, he's going to try way better than he did the first time. Think what you want about Donald Trump. Compare him to the others. I'll put my faith and trust in Donald Trump for right now because, you know, it is the lesser of two evils. I'm not a fan of Trump to the biggest extent, but in a lot of ways I was. I think this next upcoming election, he's already surfed the swamp. So you shouldn't get fooled again, Mr. President, whenever you go in and you start to deal with all these government officials, which is the reason why I got upset over Trump. I could care less about his mouth or his tweeting. I thought it was hilarious. But you need to treat the situation much more dire, Mr. President. Hope you win. But as a farmer tends to his fields so that they may bear crops, cultivate the conditions necessary for people to flourish. It doesn't hurt to compliment people. It doesn't hurt to go and give someone a break and take the shovel or the hammer out of their hands. Show them that you're also willing to sweat for their endeavor to keep the kingdom up. Once again, that's being a beacon for people to see your characteristics, your moral fiber. People want to know that their leaders love them as they love them, or at least will work as hard for them as they are for him, right? It takes everyone to keep this empire of ours going. Everyone. My problem with it is that these freaking politicians want to sit there and have their $500 lobster and steak dinners. And then they demand your vote. They demand your love. They demand your patronage. They demand your support financially. And in the ghettos of the Democratic inner cities to the wastelands that are spread throughout America and the desert Southwest to the First Nations peoples, Indian reserves that are completely ravaged with poverty and drugs, all the way to the trailer parks that are ravaged with poverty and drugs. Our streets are absolutely filled with filth, with children at the average age of 15 in Houston. 14 to 15 is your average aged prostitute in Houston. Does it sound like the kings and queens are tending the farmers in the fields? It doesn't. All right, 18. The kingdom's needs come before your own egotistical desires. That should be a no-brainer, right? But not one politician will listen. Nineteen, use the devices of grandeur and spectacle to appear powerful to others. Command respect with your awe-inspiring displays. One of the things that King Leonidas did that I always thought was awe-inspiring, and they speak of it in Gates of Fire, even if it's not historically accurate, the psychological aspect of this alone is awe-inspiring. But in the book, he speaks about how the various different commanders of the Greek legions that were out there at Thermopylae, it was about 6,000 to 7,000 people, all right? Multiple different nations were there with their representatives. And they needed to rebuild this old Phoenician wall. And if they rebuilt the wall, so if I can't draw this for you, but if you draw a triangle, all right, and the tip of one triangle is the access point for the Persian army to come forth, and then the left side of the triangle is where the Greek forces were within the hot gates. That was the tall mountainous areas that they would accumulate and have their phalanxes spread out at. And then the other corner of that triangle is the mountain, the sea, and a narrow passage that would have led the Persians around them. So they needed to fill that and rebuild an old wall. So as all the commanders and engineers were out there talking about how they should build these different walls and with what type of material they should use and the manpower used, King Leonidas just walks away from the group of the commanders that are talking about this, deliberately picks up a big rock, walks into the middle of this gap in between the water's edge, the cliff edge, and the mountain, and just drops a rock. And then goes and picks up another one and puts it next to that rock. And that's when the Polemarch, Olympias, one of the most kick-ass names ever, Olympias, he says, "Are all of you going to stand here moaning and complaining while the king himself builds the wall?" And then they all look at each other dumbfounded. And so now every man just goes, "Okay, well, I guess we're just gathering rocks and building a wall." And it got done that day. Just like my fence. I've talked about 20 different ways with my wife that I could build this dang fence. And if I just start nailing T-posts into the ground and setting up fence, it'd get done. That spectacle appeared so powerful to everybody because the king was willing to bend down and gather the burdens himself of the kingdom of the nation of Greece, put it upon his own chest and drop it between his feet while looking forward, knowing that enemy archers could fire at them at any moment. That commands respect. All right, 20. Be a symbol of transformation for your people, the answer to their prayers. Heed this advice and gain many loyal subjects. What is always the biggest prayer request for people right now? Like me, I don't have the income to continue my existence. So if you were a king, or if you were a government, and you could bestow money upon the people, if you could take off some of the burden from their shoulders, wouldn't you? Do you not think people would look at you in an awe-inspiring act and say, "Can you believe the kings and queens are giving us their peasants, their own money to bring us up out of our peasant lives and back up into modernity, into that medium source income so that we can make more for ourselves?" But you haven't seen it done yet. But I guarantee you the kingdom, the empire, the nation, the country, the state that does that, that sees the impoverished and goes and actually gives them money, pays off their debts, doesn't ask, pays off their debts, and pulls them out of this impoverished life. But yet, you can't just do it and say, "Now you're free, go do what you need." You have to ask them to do something to serve this country. They, you know, these people who they are now free of their burdens, they need to commit back to the country and to the people that have given to them. That's my advice, right? I'm not saying make these people indentured servants. I'm just saying now go back to work. Get off of EBT. Get off of SNAP. Go get a job and commit back to what keeps this country great, right? How about this? How about instead of sending hundreds of millions, tens to dozens of billions of dollars to Ukraine to pay off a people that are not going to come over here and help us, the third most corrupt nation in the world, how about we take that money and we repay all the people who lost their jobs because of the pandemic? And not ask them to pay that back, by the way. Just a thought. All stations, all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.